committee to order for the afternoon session. It's Thursday, March 19, 2009. It's 2:38. With me today is Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, Senator Huggins, myself, Senator Stedman. Senator Hoffman will be joining us momentarily, and Senator Ellis is out of state on state business and will be joining us Monday. This afternoon, we're going to continue our review of the FY10 Capital Appropriation Bill, which is Senate Bill number 75. We have two agencies this afternoon, which is our last two, but not the least important, just the least in the amount of requests and line items. We're going to have the Department of Labor, followed by the courts. And at 5 o'clock this evening, we'll be taking statewide public testimony. I misspoke earlier. I thought this afternoon from 5 o'clock on statewide testimony, we'd have the state broken down in regions, but I think what we're going to do is go around the state to the LIOs, where we might be done a little earlier, and then take testimony as they're called in. So that should speed things up a little bit, because most of us have started fairly early in the morning. With that, I'd like to go ahead and call a representative from the Department of Labor. Mr. Bell, you can come forward. We have six items that you're requesting for inclusion. If you could run through these six items, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And I will follow the order on the committee presentation. The first item for the department is for the Alaska Vocational Technical Center for deferred maintenance and major maintenance and expansion of the industrial electrical program building. The amount of that request is $1.5 million. The general deferred maintenance component of this covers the cost of some of the deferred maintenance staff at AVTEC that are funded with capital project receipts, as well as the day-to-day maintenance of facilities as facilities issues arise. The second component of our request is for the major maintenance and expansion of the industrial electrical program to increase its capacity and to deal with environmental systems issues. Through this project, we'll be able to increase the enrollment in that program too, from 24 students to 30 students to meet in demand. The second item was for the Alaska Vocational Technical Center as well, for the replacement of the major dormitory that houses approximately 120 students. That project has been deleted in the governor's amended budget due to the cost and due to the funding revenue shortfall.
So then, should we expect this to come in the FY11 capital request?
Mr. Chairman, we intend to bring this forward at some future date. We're hoping the revenue picture will look better in fiscal year 11, that we can bring it forward. It is an old facility. It does need to be replaced. And so I think we can expect to bring it forward in the future.
And there's several years left of useful life in the existing structure. You over?
Mr. Chairman, we still are housing students in that facility, and so we're trying to do our best with AVTEC maintenance staff to keep it operational. Okay. The third item is for the Division of Workers' Compensation. It is to make a complete upgrade and rewrite of their various computer systems. It is funded with worker safety account receipts, which are a set aside of workers' compensation taxes and reimbursements from self-insured employers to fund worker safety related activities in our department. And the various systems include filing of proof of coverage from employers, our claims management database, and our fraud management database, and other databases the division maintains to serve our clients.
Okay, next item.
The next item is for the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation for an interface between, with our case management system and accounting system with the Social Security Administration database and with the unemployment insurance program. The amount of, is $275,000. And this will enable us to do a better job of, by connecting with these databases, we'll be able to do a better job of tracking actual outcomes, individual earnings after they exit our program and go to work, as well as to connect with the Social Security Administration database and recover. Social Security reimburses our agency for a percentage of the savings in reduced Social Security benefit payments by virtue of people completing our program and going to work. And this this interface will improve that tracking and ability to recover Social Security receipts to enhance our services. The next item, Mr. Chairman, is for the Alaska Vocational Technical Center for the initial project was larger. It was a $12 million request for our heavy equipment and diesel shop, as well as our pipe welding program building replacement. The governor's amended budget reduced our original request from $12 million to $6 million, so the request before you now is for $6 million. And the focus of this request will be on a new facility to replace, at least partially replace, the building that we currently occupy for our diesel technology training program. This will be a modular facility that will be built. We were estimating there will be an 8,000 square foot structure. And then in a future year, fiscal year 11, we're thinking, there will be another request for an additional $6 million to complete the project as we originally foresaw it. So we're splitting it into a two-year project.
I was going to ask you about the reduction from 12 to 6 and what you're giving up. But I see in the current one, there's no entry for 2011 for the additional $6 million. So is that just a misprint or?
Mr. Chairman, we should have indicated a fiscal year 11 continuation of $6 million. It wouldn't be absolutely essential because this facility that we will build with the $6 million we're requesting for this year will be a standalone. The next facility will effectively connect on one side of it and extend that building. So we would still see a completed building with this $6 million, but the intent is to continue with an adjacent building for a complete facility replacement. And the facility we're replacing is does have structural issues. It's a 30-year-old building, and the engineering company has advised that it would be a good idea for us to vacate that building.
Then would it be storage? Or I know sometimes in my previous life when we've the local level, when we vacated buildings that were about to collapse, they never collapsed, and we continued to use them for other things for quite a few years once the new building was built. So,
Mr. Chairman, I don't expect we'll be demolishing the old building. There's another even older building that we're using for storage that we would like to demolish after we can make the next step.
Okay. So state service is fairly similar to local service.
Yeah, I believe it is, Mr. Chairman, it's in Seward.
Okay, thank you.
Our last project is for the Alaska Works Partnership. It's to purchase and additional equipment for the Pipeline Training Center in Fairbanks. There was a reduction to our original request of $1 million, so the request is for $1.3 million. And the equipment to be purchased will include welding stations, health and safety lab related equipment, a pipe boom layer, and instructional equipment for that facility.
Thank you. Pretty much takes care of your department.
I'm sorry?
The last item?
I believe that was the last item, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Guy, earlier today I was listening to a newscast and there was some discussion about robust job training in the bush. Could you tell me what, describe what those sites are just in about 45 seconds?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, we provide grants to a number of entities that provide direct job training in rural Alaska. Kotzebue, Nome, Bethel, King Salmon, Galena, and there's an entity in
the Kenai. This was water, sewer, and projects like that was the discussion.
Senator Huggins, I think that may be through the Denali Training Fund and the Denali Commission that that's referring to, but I'd
thank you.
Over the last 3 years, we've pressed pretty hard to move forward with the gas line and put a lot of money into labor and workforce development issues around the state, and it gets challenging to keep it all sorted out. And it's even challenging for us to keep track of the amount of money we've rained on the Department of Revenue and DNR. So, it's just be nice to have at some point, maybe next year, we should have an overview of what we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. And because I've noticed some of these spreadsheet runs doing the budgets this year, there's about $100 million laying around in different pots. So and I'm not saying in your department, I know it's not in your department, but in others, there's quite large sums of money. It's hard for us to say no on those particular issues.
Mr. Chairman, for what it's worth, Representative Hawker has requested an accounting of the various gas line related appropriations from all agencies, and we are putting our piece of that together. Yeah. OMB will be compiling that and forwarding that to Representative Hawker at the end of this month. And
okay.
It might prove useful to you as well.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to now go to the last group, which is the courts. And I thought we only had one request, but I see we've got several. Come on up, Mr. Christensen. We've tried in the past with varying degrees of success to take care of your third branch of government. We will try to do that again if the chairman could find you even in the binder.
Very last one in that one binder.
There he is. You see the department, your other branch, put you so far back in the capital budget. It's extremely hard. It's probably a couple thousand pages in. But your friends at finance will give you ample opportunity to put your best foot forward today. If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then walk us through the items.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Chris Christensen. I'm the Deputy Administrative Director of the Alaska Court System, and we do appreciate your efforts on our behalf in recent years. Mr. Chairman, as you know, the judicial branch has no right to have projects in the capital budget bill that's submitted to you by the governor. Each session, we provide a list of projects directly to the legislature and to OMB. That is the 11 project document that, or the 10 project document that I believe you just were given copies of. This session, the administration advised us that it would insert $2.5 million from our list into the capital budget, and we would like to thank Governor Palin for that courtesy. This $2.5 million would fund a small piece of the multi-year Boney Courthouse renovation project in Anchorage. I'd like to discuss this project since it's our highest capital priority. Then I'd like to briefly mention just a couple of other items that are on the list that we submitted to you, but which didn't make that $2.5 million cut. in the governor's bill because they are important to the operation of the justice system. Now, to begin with, our number one priority, the Anchorage campus project renovation, the Boney Courthouse in Anchorage. This is a $21.8 million project. It began 2 years ago. In FY08, you provided $1.4 million to get it started. Last year, you provided an additional $8 million. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed almost $3.5 million of that amount, leaving us with about $4.55 million. Over 40% of our caseload is in Anchorage, where we have two courthouses. The newer Nesbitt Courthouse was built in 1996, and it was full the day it opened. The legislature had originally told us to build a $75 million courthouse with room for expansion, and then it changed its mind and said, here's $45 million, do what you can. This building houses most of our trial court functions, including all the criminal case functions, felonies and misdemeanors. The older Boney Courthouse was built in 1974. It has substantial deferred maintenance needs, seismic issues, courtrooms that aren't suitable for installing the kind of electronic equipment that we use today, such as the digital recording equipment and the computers, and it has a lack of security for the safe and efficient handling of prisoners. This building was actually designed back in the day when courthouses were designed exactly like office buildings, and prisoners, jurors, victims, witnesses, and the public all used the same hallways, the same elevators, and the same entrances. When this was the primary building for criminal cases back before 1996, we had several mistrials every year when a jury accidentally ran into an in-custody defendant who was in his prison jumpsuit and shackles, which the U.S. Supreme Court says the jury is not allowed to see, and we regularly had escapes and escape attempts in the building. Now, because of the dramatic increase in the criminal caseload, Anchorage has had about a 75% increase in felony cases just in the last 5 years alone. In the last 10 years, you have added several new judges. You've created, and we have also created, several new therapeutic courts and several other reasons. We are basically trying to move functions between these two buildings. We're now attempting to move the district court, which handles mainly misdemeanor matters, back into this old courthouse and leave the newer courthouse for the superior court, which are the felony cases. The old building has an estimated useful life of about 30 more years if it's renovated. To actually rip it down and replace it would cost in excess of $90 million. So this is a cost-effective way of dealing with the issue. Now, Mr. Chairman, for what it's worth, it should be noted that the federal stimulus package includes the state fiscal stabilization fund, and the authorization language there indicates that I think it's 18% of each state's allocation shall be used for public safety and other government services. And I just would note that of the $21.8 million that this full renovation package would cost, about $9.9 million is street ready. It could be on the street within 30 days of getting the word.
$9.9 million.
Could be on the street within 30 days.
$10 million.
So that is the only item that's actually in the budget bill, Mr. Chairman. Now, if I could just talk very briefly about a couple of others that we think are significant and that you have seen before. Number two on that 10-item list that you received is the court view enhancements, $1.344 million. This is year two of a three-year project. You provided $1.5 million last year for the first phase. The purpose of this project is to enhance the court view case management system that we've been developing and installing over the last 5 years. The bare bones version of court view is now up and running in 24 court locations around the state, which handle over 80% of our total caseload. Southeast Alaska is the last remaining big piece of that. Briefly, these funds would expedite the deployment of CourtView to the remaining courts and enhance it in order to make criminal case data more complete, more accurate, more timely, and more accessible to other law enforcement agencies. There are a couple of issues right now, Mr. Chairman, that I know you're familiar with. Right now, things like bail conditions, charging documents, and criminal judgments are not provided either to defendants or to lawyers when they walk out of a courtroom, and they're not available electronically to law enforcement officers around the state. This means when a criminal defendant is released on bail, he doesn't get a piece of paper that tells him what he can't do for at least a couple of weeks when it's mailed out. It means that when a law enforcement officer walks into a bar, sees somebody he's arrested 2 weeks previously, knows he's out on bail, and knows he probably has a no alcohol provision in the bail, that officer has no way of finding out if that's true because he can't simply look it up in a computer. Last year's operating budget and this year's operating budget proposals contain money for clerical employees to help address this, our No Dark Courtrooms initiative. This is the capital component to help get these documents out of the courtroom and into people's hands and into the police department and the troopers' computers almost immediately.
And that's 1.344 this year, and then followed up with a little over 800 next year?
Yes, sir.
And this subject has been discussed several times, and we've worked trying to resolve that. So if you were to get this appropriation, you know, and assume next year we followed it up with the 809, then that would cure this challenge that the department said?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would go almost the entire way of solving the problems. I think our law enforcement officers around the state would have access to computerized data. It means lawyers and defendants would get the data as they leave the courtroom, and there would be a number of other changes that are being done with this too. It for example, would give, right now we have a lot of data available on the internet to the general public, but it's sanitized. It leaves out a lot of information that law enforcement has the legal right to, but the public doesn't. Things like addresses of victims, social security numbers. We would like to enable law enforcement in the state to access those parts of our computers so they could see the unsanitized versions, things they're legally entitled to know that help them handle their function. And a couple of other little tweaks. But it's really, in a sense, Mr. Chairman, is primarily not to fix enhance our computer system for our benefit. It's to enhance our computer system for the benefit of law enforcement and for the benefit of the prosecutors, the public defenders, and the criminal defendants, so they have access to the information they need immediately and not weeks down the road.
And it would make no difference in if you're in Fairbanks or Nome or Matsu or wherever. It's all electronic retrieval?
Mr. Chairman, it's electronic, and it is a statewide system. The system should be fully installed. The bare-bones system should be fully installed within about 2 years at the current rate of funding. And I would note, since you said Nome is actually the only community in the state right now where a police officer can call in and find out exactly what the electronic data is on somebody, a bail condition or anything. The Nome Police Department got a federal grant that enabled them to set this system up, and it is actively used by both the city police and the state troopers. Third, Mr. Chairman, something you've seen now about 5 years in a row, and this is money for court security projects. This is our number three priority. This is a multi-year project to increase security at our facilities. You've provided some funding in FY04, 05, 07, and 09. This is made up of many discrete projects, some small and some large, at a variety of court facilities around the state. So any amount that's provided is actually used. The full amount does not need to be funded. Mr. Chairman, as you know, the courthouse is an inherently dangerous place in that it's filled with people who are very unhappy with what the government's doing to them or what other individuals or businesses are doing to them. Violent felons, people whose children are being taken away, people who are losing everything they've worked for all their lives. Nationally, there's more and more violence in courthouses, and we do have a duty to provide a safe environment, not just for employees, but for the jurors, for victims, for witnesses, for lawyers, and a lot of other folks who aren't there by choice, but they've been forced to show up. Now, unlike most states, we don't have armed officers in every courthouse, much less an armed officer in every courtroom. The only time an armed officer is present in a courtroom in Alaska is when you have an in-custody criminal defendant who needs to be transported back and forth to a jail. This security upgrades will include things like safer prisoner holding cells and transportation in court facilities, duress alarms, access control systems, replacement for old worn-out metal detectors at the Superior Court locations, which have security screening at the door, and a variety of other projects.
Mr. Christensen, just as we wind through the last area of our capital budget here, comments of your customers that you have in your courts probably have similar thoughts going through their head as they enter this old courtroom and have to deal with the Senate Finance Committee. That they probably don't want to be here and what we're doing to them. But anyway, continue on. I was just, my mind was wandering while you were.
And then I'll just talk about one last project that didn't make it, Mr. Chairman, because it is a little bit different. This is number four, the mediation pilot project, which is $350,000 that we would expend over a period of 3 years. Child custody, child visitation, and child support is a huge, huge issue in the courts. Around 20% of our caseload in the Superior Court statewide is made up with these kinds of cases, and they're cases that keep on giving. You know, child custody is set at the time parents get divorced, and then somebody comes back every year for the next 15 years and tries to change it. So it's actually a much more pervasive problem than you would guess looking at our statistics. There's not a great deal of customer satisfaction. People never like, whether they win or lose, people don't like the process. We would like to set up a mediation pilot project in Fairbanks, Palmer, and Anchorage. These would be cases in which a judge has already set custody, visitation, or support, and then somebody is coming back. And rather than having them appear before a judge again, we would use mediation, which is something that has been used very, very effectively in a number of court systems around the country. We would target cases. We had about 1,167 cases like this last year in those three communities. That the money would be used for mediator training of court personnel to conduct screening, contractor mediation services, and program evaluation. And Mr. Chairman, as you know, whenever we do a new project, we make an effort to do it with federal funds or with MTAR funding. This is how all the therapeutic courts have gotten created. And then after we've done it for a few years, and we can prove that it actually works and it's making us more efficient or saving money or making the system better, we'll come back to you and ask for general funds. With this project, there are no federal funds or anything else available. We are presenting it as a trial project in the capital budget, as a three-year trial project. And, when it has been done in other states, these surveys show that the satisfaction by participants is actually much, much higher. People who come to an agreement rather than having one imposed on them by a judge when it involves their kids seem to be happier, and it does seem to save a good deal of court time, which can then be used for other things.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Christian. What I'd ask you to do, and I got to meet with my colleagues, of course, and we'll be deciding what we're going to do with the capital budget. And I know you're a little different being from the third branch of government, and we've tried to help in the past. If we do additions above what the governor requests, of course, we can't assure that the governor won't change those. So I would suggest that you have a dialogue with OMB or whoever within the administration upon the release of the capital budget to try to help protect your department, but your branch of government. Do we have any other questions? Committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for coming forward today. That concludes the agency's requests. Tomorrow, we will not have finance in the morning. We're scheduled tomorrow to meet then at 1:30. So tentatively, we'll see everybody back at 1:30 tomorrow. But remember, this evening at 7 o'clock, we have, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, we have public participation in the capital process. Meeting adjourned.